Live from the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce headquarters in Phoenix, Arizona, you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, and this is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday, I should say, of the month from 3 to 4, starring none other than Gordon Parkman, the executive director.
Chairman of the board.
I knew you got promoted. I wanted to just test you out on this. Chairman of the board.
See if I knew. There you go.
I say that all the time because chairman of the board means you're like Frank Sinatra.
Yes, that's right. In the Rat Pack.
That was great. Didn't you love that stuff?
Yep.
I just love that stuff.
I think we have this conversation every month.
Yeah, I know. We forget and then we enjoy and then we forget and enjoy. But North Phoenix Chamber is the chamber to be. I mean, this is truly my favorite chamber. By far, you guys contribute to the community. It's about relationships. It's not about sales, but it's helping others in your community through education, charitable giving, and really just connecting with people. And that's really what it takes in business and life in general.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. And I think our focus really is on how do we help each other, working together, how do we help each other grow our businesses? And that's really what it's all about.
It really is.
Because the large percentage of the businesses in the valley, at least in the North Valley here, are small businesses. The future of Phoenix, Phoenix Metro, the state, and the country is small businesses. And so I think we really need to make sure we're focusing and helping each other grow our respective businesses.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And, of course, this is one of the few chambers, if not the only chambers, that rewards their members by doing a drawing and giving a free trip, to Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network.
Yes. Every month, third Monday of the month.
Which is fun.
It's just lots of fun. And it really provides an opportunity for the businesses to have a chance to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
And in an essence, as you said, David, promote themselves. And make their businesses aware to a very large audience that your network has.
Yeah, and also, you know, if you go to other networking events, sometimes you have 30-second commercials, and, you know, how much can you really say in 30 seconds? A couple sneezes, it's over if you have a cold. And also, even if you're the major presenter on some networking groups, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, this is an hour of concentrated interview. Exactly what the members can do for other members, and we get into a lot of different, you know, how they do it, what's their most important quality that they can give to others. So it's not just peddling products, it's really who they are. Because people, after all, what? They love to buy from people they like. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, right?
Yeah. I think the real focus is people really care about who you are.
They do.
They'll later on get into what you do. But the real issue is really about establishing relationships and really getting to understand who people are.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. And a lot of inexperienced or unaware networkers, they go to try to sell rather than see who they're dealing with, what they can do for the other person. And that's what I know North Phoenix Chamber loves to concentrate on. Is relationships. But talking about relationships, we have two great guests, thanks to Gordon Parkman, chairman of the board, by the way, in studio today, the owners of Brightside Creative Solutions. We have Holly Lane and Jessica Kilker in studio. Welcome, Holly and Jessica.
Thank you.
That sounded really cute, right? In harmony. They say they don't sing.
We practiced it.
I don't believe it. I bet there's a Donnie and Marie potential here. Well, not Donnie and Marie. Two Maries.
Yeah, two Maries, yeah.
By the way, they're really good. Do you like Donnie and Marie? It's ahead of your – I mean, it's before your time.
My mom was really into Donnie and Marie.
Doesn't that make us feel good?
I feel great now. Great takeover. Okay. But welcome. And, of course, Brightside Creative Solutions, digital marketing. And let's have – who wants to describe it? Holly, you want to describe exactly what you do? You could both chime in.
Okay. So we're a digital marketing boutique, and we specialize in businesses around the valley that need help just getting their online presence out there, whether that's social media marketing or getting their website up and running or reevaluated and getting some SEO to get more exposure through Google, because that's constantly changing and it's really hard to keep up. So we follow those trends and we work with companies just in a really personal way, and we get to know really what their need is. We'll never offer a service they don't need. And that's kind of how we function.
And Jessica, how important is that? I know the answer. Even though I'm not well-versed in social media, I try to be. But Greg always says, wait a minute, you know, I'm using Facebook as if I was using Twitter. That's not appropriate. But I'll tell you, right, there's no question about it. This is not just a thing of the future. This is now.
Right.
If people don't have a social media presence, they're falling behind. Am I right?
Yes, you are. People, I think, tend to look at what a company is promoting. So they like to get a feel before they buy with something. And so that's, they check out their Facebook or their website or their blog to get an idea of who are these people? Do I want to buy with them? And Facebook's just another way, or social media, to kind of establish who you are and let your customers know what you're offering.
Now, we got an email from someone earlier on before the show started, evidently wanted to ask this question. Is, I mean, look at Facebook. You know, it's evolved. It's huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everyone seems to be on it or eventually will be on it. But I think there was, let's see, I can't find the email now, but wasn't there, what was the other thing before Facebook?
MySpace.
Yeah. Yes.
Is MySpace still something active, or is that, did Facebook sort of blow it to pieces?
Well, in a sense that they're not equivalent anymore. They're not like a competing company. MySpace is active in the music community.
Oh.
I believe, and don't quote. As only as a music platform, Justin Timberlake invested in it, and it's this music platform now. But it's not a social media promotional piece like Instagram or Twitter or Facebook.
In the day when Facebook, because I've never been on, I mean,
MySpace. Yeah.
But I remember my daughter, youngest daughter, was on it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't understand what it was. But was that at the time the social media presence?
Yes, it was one of the only social media presence out
there. So here's the question this listener had. Is if MySpace can sort of be dropped down a bit when Facebook came about, is there something coming up, or will there be something coming up that sort of kills Facebook or diminishes its value?
I'm sure there will be. There's constantly new forms of social media, even apps that are changing the way we communicate with other people, whether we know them or not. So Facebook is being competitive, and they're, of course, ahead of the game because they were there and they're established. But there's a lot of younger startups that are coming out, and who knows what the digital marketing people will demand to have something new in the next 5-10 years.
So if you had to guess, I know this is putting you on the spot, but it is sort of interesting to me. A lot of people investing in Facebook because you can buy ads, I guess.
And, yes.
And buy, boost your posts.
Yes, boost any posts.
And if there's something else, I mean, what would possibly come up that could take out Facebook or compete with them? I mean, is there any other platform? And if you got this, we should form a company. Because I'm just sort of curious. I'm not, you know, an expert in social media, but it fascinates me.
Right.
I think
Instagram, I know, is now looking into advertisements. They're still,
really?
Yeah, they're actually going out, and bigger companies are doing that. They're experimenting how they want to go forward with that. But I know Instagram's very popular, especially with the younger generations. Now Facebook's getting older, and Instagram's more the younger
that's
place
right.
to be seen.
So that's one possibility. Now, is that something everyone should have, as an Instagram account?
If you care about following photos, and that's more, you're more visual and you just want to share photos instead of words necessarily, and you just want to kind of document your life that way, then that's a great way because it's an easy way to scroll through.
So like a photo with me and Jane Seymour would be a good one.
And that would be a great one.
Or all of your fillies from the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, you saw those on the Facebook. I did post it on my personal thing, which brings up another question. Is a personal page versus a business page.
Mm-hmm.
What is there a sort of protocol? Is there certain rules where you use a personal versus a page, a business page? How does it work?
I would say definitely if you have a business, you should have a business page. There's a lot of benefits to that. You could start doing ads that way, and you can market differently if you have your business page, and you don't have to worry about having your personal page be more than what it should be, which is just your personal page.
Yeah.
So definitely business page, because you're able to just get more of a marketing presence there.
Is there a way to transfer over your friends to your from personal business?
I don't know if there's a way to transfer, but there is a place where you can say invite friends. So
The business.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have that option to go ahead.
And you can also link your business to your personal.
Right.
Like that's what I do. Mm-hmm. So when I post on my business page, it automatically shows up on my personal page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that works for me. I think I did personal. Greg knows how to do it, though.
No, you need go back to what the girl said. You need to have a business page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have that. Yeah,
and link it to your personal page.
Yes,
I see.
So you've got hundreds of thousands of followers on your personal, and 200 people on your business. You now have thousands mm-hmm. that see it because they're viewing it through your personal page.
Yeah, yeah. That's excellent. And so that's the difference. So personal, you should keep it to personal things, basically.
Yeah, and you could also use your personal once in a while to promote your business page. And I would say not to do that too much, but enough that people are reminded of what you do and where to go, and then still keep them interested in your personal aspect of your personal Facebook page. So that way they're like, oh, yeah, I forgot that they do that, and then go to your business page.
How effective is it? And then we're going to get into your background in just a few minutes, but is it, let's say someone wants to hire someone.
Yeah.
Can you put it on your personal page and business page and just say, hey, we're looking
definitely.
For someone?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I would post it on your business page and then just share it on your personal. So that way you're driving people back to your business page.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's smart. And because is that better than like Craigslist? What do you know about Craigslist?
Craigslist is becoming a little more dicey because people have been scammed so much through Craigslist. So you can do it, and there is some reputable things going on there, but it's harder to weed them out. Oh. Facebook, at least you have a credible person and a source behind what you're posting.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. How about Angie's List?
Yeah, Angie's List is great. Yeah. Especially for businesses.
How about Jesse's Girls? No, that, that was wasn't that a song?
That's a song.
It's a Rick Springfield song.
I'm you might reach him.
How do they know that?
That
they're
was
so
my
young.
Time.
Their mother told them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. That
when
is...
she was talking about Donnie and Marie, she told them about that.
Rick Springfield.
Oh, that is a very cool thing. So let's go into a little bit of...
Could I go back a half a second?
Oh, sure.
Because, and this is relative to what we're talking about, the technology and whatever. I read somewhere about maybe a year ago that the technology that exists is somewhere in a neighborhood of about 2 to 3 years behind what people would like it to be. And the issue was, can technology ever catch up? Because, you know, you got these younger people whose minds going at a, you know, rocket speed, and they're looking for greater and greater things, but the technology can't keep up to fulfill what they're looking for. I just wanted to throw that out.
I think there's always going to be that demand. Like, as technology in the past, if you think about Facebook hasn't even been around for as long as we think it has, but most people can't imagine their life without a social media platform of some sort and connecting with people in that way. So if you think about it, as much as we've changed in the past 5 years, we're just going to constantly want that change to be moving just as fast. And I think that's probably what it is. It's just that desire to see it going even more and seeing more happen in a shorter amount of time.
I would think, I'm just going to guess on this one, but with Facebook and all the resources they have, if they manage themselves properly, I would think they could be the leader for a long time, having the best and the smartest people in technology. Wouldn't
Absolutely.
That make sense? I mean, to continue to reinvent.
They're
always
evolving.
Well, they also have the you know, the financial wherefore to buy up whoever their competitor, whoever they perceive as somebody's going to compete against them, they can go out and buy them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Did you like the movie about
the social network?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
It was interesting to me.
Yeah, it was the most interesting. Well, it was all interesting. But the twins.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. And
they settle and then they want to go back to court.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. Do you know what happened?
No, I don't know, like, beyond that what happened, but I've recently seen them in a few things,
yes.
The Winklevoss twins. So
why?
Are they still
They're
bitter?
Still out there. Oh, I mean, I think they're just trying to make their footprint.
Didn't they get a lot of money, though?
Yes.
But not nearly.
Still,
right?
Not Facebook yeah. amount of money.
I don't know. That must have been a very interesting legal battle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who knows? I mean, it's probably complex, but I do like Jesse Eisenberg. What's his name?
Yeah,
Jesse Eisenberg.
Got it.
He's
yep.
cool.
He's
do
a
you
great
like
actor.
I do. Now You See Me?
I not seen that one.
Oh, they're going to come out with part two
in
2016.
There you go.
I don't know. We're talking movies.
Movies
now. Okay. But I wanted to go from Donnie Marie to someone that both of you can relate to. Well, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll go into your backgrounds. How you came about to form this partnership, and then more specific again on some of the services that you have brought forth to your clients and potential clients. And this is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour, starring Gordon Parkman, Chairman of the Board. We'll be right back.
Watching the sun bake. Legend of the Phoenix, all ends with beginnings. What keeps the planet spinning?
And welcome back again. You are listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour, starring Gordon Parkman, Chairman of the Board, and our special in-studio guest, owners of Brightside Creative Solutions, Holly Lane and Jessica Kilker. That reminds me of Kill Bill Volume 2. I didn't see Volume 1. Did anyone see Volume
1? Yeah, I've seen Volume 1.
What was better, Volume 1 or 2?
I don't know. I think they're both. Quentin Tarantino is always interesting. And so I think sequels for him are just as good because they're just as imaginative. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What was it called? The Death Grip or... He got David Carradine at the end.
Oh, yeah,
at
the end. My dad was a big Kung Fu Legendary Legend Continues fan, so I was raised on that.
Yeah, right, Gordon? We love Kung Fu, didn't we?
Absolutely. That was a staple when I was growing up.
That was one of my favorites.
It was one of mine, too.
How about Little House on the Prairie?
Yeah, well, that was just on today.
I knew it. Oh, it was on today?
Yeah, we were watching it in the background while we were typing some stuff up.
I'm a big fan of Little House on the Prairie. Yeah. I used to call my mom Ma just because I wanted to be Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh, that was truly one of my favorites.
Oh, I love it.
Isn't
that
a great show?
Oh, yes.
Sadly about Michael Landon.
I
passed away years ago.
Yeah,
it was
a while ago.
Fantastic
show.
But
I still love it. I still get suckered in.
That is one of the all-time. You too, Gordon, you liked it?
Oh, yes.
Great values. Back to the old days of good values.
Yeah, I loved it.
So anyway, we're talking about Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
No, we're not. We got Brightside Creative Solutions in-house. Now, let's talk about your background, Jessica. Why don't you go first?
Sure.
Because you look so young, both of you.
Yes.
But I know you're seasoned veterans.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Youth and experience.
There you go.
Which
perfect
is
combo.
Great. It is. So how did? What's your background in relation to this?
Well, I graduated ASU. So go Sun Devils.
Nice. ASU. We just had the golf coach on.
Oh,
the
did
women's
you really?
Golf
okay.
coach. She was really cool.
Yes. I'm still a huge ASU fan. But so I graduated with communication and a minor in business. Mm. And I always kind of sparked things and worked at a couple agencies. And that's where I met Holly. And so we just kind of always had this vision to do it on our own. We became friends. And so we've been doing this. I've been doing it in this field for over 6 years.
That's basically. Good. That's a nice amount of experience.
Mm-hmm. And we understand the importance of, you know, always teaching ourselves.
Yeah.
So just because we maybe think we know what's going on now, it's always important to
especially this
to
industry,
learn.
Right?
Exactly. Yes.
I mean, some industries, I mean, it's not advisable to, you know, just rest on what you know.
Right, yeah. Things
but this industry,
Yeah, especially with Google, like their requirements for SEO, like there's always practices that are changing, and so it's important to stay on top of
How
that.
Do you keep up to date on all the new changes?
I'm a big fan of self-education. That's like Holly and I do. Yes, if we have a question, we have no problem asking and finding the answers. And researching it ourselves and asking other people for their
following
experience.
Newsletters and just keeping up with different trends.
You just be aware and you know where the leaders are and you just follow what's going on.
Important
Although you're probably
current.
The leaders too, though.
Right. Sure.
So people follow you. All right, Holly, your background.
My background, I also graduated with a degree in communications.
ASU?
No, I'm kidding.
Right?
I'm an East Coast girl. So,
well, that's good. Which school?
So I'm from New Jersey, but then I went to school in Virginia. I went to Liberty University, which is a very small little conservative
But a good
college.
School.
It's a good school, yeah. And I got a lot of hands-on experience because it's a smaller department. So, yeah, and I, after that, I worked in a couple agencies myself, one out in New Jersey, a few out here. And a little over 6 years experience, just like Jess, met her at an agency and kind
and
of the
rest
same
was
vision.
History.
Yeah, we both had the same passions and we both kept seeking out different things in the agencies we were working at and just realized we're growing at the same pace, being promoted at the same pace. And decided this is just something we wanted to do. And so we put it into the works.
What brought you to Phoenix from the East?
My husband.
Oh, you didn't,
no, just joking.
That didn't sound good.
No, I'm just joking.
Do we have a marriage counselor? <in the house? laughs>
No, he's a native Phoenician.
How'd you meet him?
He was also in Virginia. And so it's just good
timing.
Oh,
at the school.
At college, we met each other. We were just friends. And then when we were dating after college, decided once we were going to get married and we'd either be in New Jersey or in Arizona. And
that was an easy choice.
Yeah, it was easy for me. It's cheaper living. We were able to buy a house out here. So yeah, we were just like, let's go with Phoenix.
But don't you miss Chris Christie? I'm kidding. Okay. Just teasing. You weren't on the bridge, were you?
No, of course not. I'm here. So
that would have been frustrating,
it's been a while.
Right? Yeah. Like all day on a bridge? Oh, that would have drove me nuts. New Jersey. It reminds me of something that I really love. I watch this movie almost every night if it's on HBO. The Jersey Boys.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see it?
I have not seen it, but I hear it's amazing.
You love Frankie Valli.
Yes.
Rudy, no, Frankie Valli, yeah.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Four seasons.
I saw them in Vegas. They put on an incredible show.
Isn't that a great musical?
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh.
And the interesting part about it is, as great as the music is, when you hear the story about them.
Phenomenal.
I mean, it is like you almost say, I don't believe this happened.
Exactly. I was shocked because I didn't know the backstory, but I remember their songs, and you remember their songs, great songs.
Yeah.
But then when they said Joe Pesci was involved with them, I mean, that was like really funny, I thought. How did he get involved? But I guess there's a lot of interesting things that
happen. When
you're
on the East Coast, it's a very small family. Everybody knows everybody.
So really what happens in New Jersey stays in New Jersey.
Yes, we don't talk about it.
Except there's more grave sites in Las Vegas. All right, just kidding, whoever's listening. But no, we're big Jersey Boy fans, no question about it. He's still alive, by the way.
Oh, wow.
He's in, I think, almost 90, maybe.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Still singing.
Yep.
And I think the writer, Bob, what's his name, one of the members, I think three of the members are still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. So so that's your background.
That's my background.
So you combine
yes.
to join forces and challenge the universe.
yes.
So tell us, now you've been about a year, year and a half.
Year and a half. Well, it started, we were working full-time when we had this dream, and so we put it down on paper, and so we were doing it while working full-time for a little bit, and then we realized we couldn't grow our business unless we
and your employers just heard that. Okay.
No, they know.
We're fine.
All right.
No bad,
we'll
really.
No
bad side.
Yeah.
Okay.
No
just,
secret.
Just kidding. So tell us what it's like then to start up as entrepreneurs at a fairly young age with great experience.
Well, for us, it was just, it felt natural to kind of take that next step. It's scary, of course, but it was just one of those things that I was more afraid of what would happen if we didn't do it and put it off than if we did do it.
Exactly. You know, that's good thinking.
Yeah, it's just.
That is really good thinking.
It was one of those things, it's like, it just, you felt it, and it was the right timing for us, and we're just like, you know what, if we just circle a date on our calendars and commit to just going all in, then what could we have to lose other than a few months of our time? And if it doesn't work out, then we can still get other jobs. It's not the end of the world. So
We prepared for it.
We prepared for it.
Planned for it.
Which is smart.
Yes, our husbands were supportive. Yeah. So we had a whole really thought out. We just didn't decide one day, hey, let's quit and do this. Like, it was very well thought out.
Yeah.
So, Gordon, what do you think of that type of thinking? They, rather than looking at if I should do it, they go, if I don't do it,
right.
Mm-hmm. What will I lose? I think that's really brilliant.
I think it's really interesting because I was having a conversation with an individual this morning. And kind of near the end of the conversation, I asked the question, how much better will your business be 3 months from now if you don't do anything? Mm. And I think that answers the question.
Yeah. Yep.
It's the fact if they don't do anything,
exactly,
how much better is things going to be?
Absolutely.
Doesn't sound like a whole heck of a lot.
No.
And I think the real focus is you need to make it. I think there's two things. You need to make a commitment. And as important it is to make the commitment, make the commitment to focus on a daily basis, how do I grow my business? How can my business be better today than it was last Friday? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the mentality I have. And I know we heard these folks and I have had countless conversations about those kind of things. And they basically do work for some of my clients.
Excellent.
And do incredible work for them, by the way.
Wow.
And to me, that's what it's all about. In my mind, you never, and I think we've had this conversation in our board meetings, it's never about, well, I'm going to reach the top. You never will. If you focus on how do I better be tomorrow than today, you'll never get to the top because the top keeps moving.
Yeah.
And I think that's the mentality you have to have. And I think also the other thing is far too many people don't focus on how do they manage and grow their business. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, that's not something they think about. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, take a half hour a week, an hour a week, shut your phone off, shut your computer off. Don't listen to anything. Just sit there with a piece of paper and a pencil and say, what do I got to do to grow my business? And just write as things come through your mind, just write it down.
Write it down, yeah.
Makes sense.
And then take a look and say, okay, now these are the things that make sense and this is what I got to do.
Yep.
That makes perfect sense. And let's take another quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Holly Lane and Jessica Kilker of Brightside Creative Solutions. This is the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour every third Monday of the month from 3 to 4. And we'll be right back. Again, you're listening to the North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour starring Gordon Parkman, Chairman of the Board, with special in-studio guests from Brightside Creative Solutions. We have Jessica Kilker and Holly Lane. By the way, I love the name Holly Lane.
I get that a lot.
It's really, it just blends.
So classy.
Yeah, it's very classy.
And I like the name Jessica Kilker.
Thank you.
But Holly Lane.
Sounds like a soap opera star.
Yeah,
there you go.
It's Holly Lane. Wow, it's really cool. So we talked a bit about, you know, who you are and some of your insights and philosophy. And if you want to, of course, hear a replay, go to breakradioshow.com. Under archives, under North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce Radio Hour, you can hear this broadcast as many times as you want. And 24/7, by the way, so that's very exciting. Now, let's go specifically to what you do, digital marketing. Mm-hmm. Who wants to define what that is?
Sure. I think digital marketing is making your presence known online, whether that's through your website, social media, SEO, content. So it's really how you want to present yourself to the world online.
Which is critical this day and age because the days of, like, print media, I think, look at newspapers. Aren't they sort of...
They're online. I honestly read my news online.
Yeah.
I read the headlines.
So there's not going to be a lot of print media in the future, I don't think, right?
But you know, the other part that, in my mind, and I've had this conversation with different people, the whole digital marketing presence and the kind of things that you gals have been talking about, in my mind, adds an incredible level of credibility to you as a business person.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I mean, really, because you take a look at the fact that, you know, how do I know who you are?
Right.
And you go you look at their website, and it provides them an opportunity to see who you are, what you've done, and your background, the kind of things you get involved with. That in itself provides a level of credibility that's completely different today than it was 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so I mean, different. but the thing is, 20 years ago, it was really all about reputation as the fact that people knew you and stuff like that. That's a huge benefit. I mean, that's a huge requirement today. Mm-hmm. But in my mind, a good solid website and a good solid digital marketing strategy really provides a level of credibility for a business and a business owner.
And to jump on a little bit of what you just said, 20 years ago, a lot of people would just walk into your storefront, whatever service you offered, and they would see your personable and they would see, oh, I like this person. He's trustworthy. He's offering a really good product. Now, before I'm even leaving my house, I'm looking you up online.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so if I can't find an updated, mobile-friendly, credible site that tells me what I need to see before I leave my home, chances are I'm going to look at the next guy.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't need to be
fancy.
It just needs to be clean. And your presence needs to just be there and very clear and mobile friendly. So when I'm on my iPhone, I could find you in 5 minutes and be like, oh, it's down the street. And then I go right there.
Which brings us from, you know, website presence to mobile presence.
Yeah,
and that's
absolutely
really what's happening right now.
Right. You have to.
Well, you have to have both, but your website should be mobile friendly.
Well, Google
friendly,
just went ahead and did, and now Google's actually took the stance, and your website, if it's not mobile friendly, will get hurt in search rankings.
Oh, really?
April 21st, they are now putting out a requirement. Well, not requirement, but a highly suggested requirement that your site should be mobile friendly. That will help your SEO rankings.
Wow, that's interesting.
So, which is great for some people who already have a mobile-friendly site and their competitors don't, because now their ranking's going to go higher than their competitors.
Right.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And on one of the breaks, we were talking about watches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so if you don't have a watch, you may
Apple
be in trouble.
Watch.
I'm just kidding. But what an interesting fact, a little bit off the topic, Gordon, you said if you have a tattoo, these watches don't work on your arm if you have a tattoo.
Yep.
Which is really interesting that maybe Apple didn't anticipate that.
Right.
I guess that's a tough one to anticipate, however. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how the tattoo business does in the future. Now, web design. So you do web design. Mm-hmm. And does that mean from A to Z? I mean, you do it all?
We do WordPress specifically.
Okay.
That's what we specialize in. We like the platform. We feel like you don't need us to maintain it. We can maintain it for you, but we could also teach our clients to self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. You pay us to get your website up and done, and you can
update
how to do it. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And you don't need to constantly call us if you don't want to and ask us to help you. And it's clean and it's mobile friendly and Google loves it. So for SEO, it's a dream. And that's why we specialize in it.
Wow. Yeah. And there's other formats out
platforms.
But WordPress, I hear, is actually pretty popular.
Oh, it is. It started as more of a blogging. People
usually,
I think of WordPress as a blogger. But there's actually a lot of sites that are built with the platform.
Oh, that's
WordPress.
That is excellent. Now, so web design, so what would be a normal way of proceeding with a client? They meet with you. What would you do? Ask, like, what is your goal?
You know,
obviously, what do you do in business?
Yeah, some of our clients, they already have a website, and they just want to start new, and others don't have one, and so they're starting a whole new brand. And so those are two different ways we have to think about it. So we sit with them, we talk to them about what they need, what their goal in having a website even is. Are they selling something on their website, or they just want to be there so they have a presence and be informative? And then we kind of take it from there, and we work with them on their dreams. We ask them to send us a few websites they like and what they dream the site to be.
Yeah.
And then we take that into consideration. Mm-hmm.
That is very cool. And that's real important. And I know it's hard to nail down a price. I remember, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I met with like 3 different web design people. Maybe it's even longer. And there's such a variance.
Range. Yes.
And
yeah.
I was shocked. I go, why is there such a big range? I mean, many industries, attorneys, you could expect, $250 an hour to on up.
Right.
But CPAs, another pretty similar, I guess. But this was I remember like 1,000 up to 10,000.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It could be even
and
more.
And it was the same. Yeah, but it was the same type of stuff.
Right,
and so I said, the 10,000 guy, what do you do for 9,000 more? I just, I didn't understand it. And how do you explain that? Is it just, it's the Wild West still,
it's
maybe?
Still, when we worked with our agency, that's what kind of inspired us because, small companies couldn't afford the prices that the agencies demand for a website.
Yeah. But I think, let's use attorneys and stuff like that. And these folks, these ladies don't have, they don't have a huge office that they have to pay for overhead.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. And seriously, that's a function of, I have a number of friends of mine that are attorneys. I also have clients that are attorneys, and it depends. The sole practitioner is charged this much an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The
right,
ones that work
right.
for firm charge in some cases almost twice an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that they're worth twice as much, but the company they work for has got to pay the rent and pay pay for the overhead.
Right, yeah. So where would you say you're very competitive?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, every project will be different, and we only base it on what you need. So you're not going to get a random price from us. We break it out completely, everything you're going to get, everything that means, whatever it is, revisions. We work with you. We teach you. That's baked into the price. We always bake in the price of teaching you how to use your own website.
Wow.
And some people aren't interested in learning how to use it, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
And we'll take that on, but we always want to make sure we're working with people to know what they're buying from us and how they can applicably use it moving forward.
Now, do you find there's a lot of competition in this industry?
Oh, yes.
It seems like it.
When we first started, every networking, there's always people who do what we do. And so that's the question, what makes us different?
And what does make you different?
I would say that it's the relationship base. Most of our customers, our clients have been burned by someone who does what we do. And so I think it's a really rare quality to find someone in this day and age who's reliable, especially when the technology is always changing. A lot of companies start off and then they stay with that same mentality. They don't adapt or they run out of business. And we are very personal with our clients, and we're not intimidating in that way. They can ask any questions. They can learn as much as they want, or hands off, hands on. So,
and what makes us different too is we've even had clients where they were told they needed something that we then analyzed, and we said, actually, you don't need to redo your site, or you don't need to
spend
add
this money.
Service. And I know that could be business for us, but at the end of the day, we don't want to take on business that we're not completely confident in them being thrilled with the results. If they're not going to be thrilled with the results, they're never going to be thrilled with what we've done, no matter what we do. So we'll always offer that transparency to them, and they know they could trust us. And that's what I think we've pride ourselves on.
What's the number one complaint you hear from clients that you get in regards to other web developers and digital marketing people?
Communication.
I was going to say disappearances.
Yes.
They get their site done, and then they, I have one more question, and it takes weeks if they're lucky to hear back from them. But it's me and Holly, and so when you pick up the phone, we're always going to be there to answer emails.
Yeah.
Because in this day and age in communication technology, it's kind of like, how do you just go away for a week or not answer?
I've heard that too. And Greg, I think you've heard it. Gordon, probably you've heard it, where you got all these people and they do your website, and then you ask them, like, hey, can you fix this? And you don't hear for, after 10 calls in 2 weeks. Is that what you hear?
Yes, all the time.
Why is that, you think?
It's because they wanted to make their money. Mm-hmm. They made their money, and that is it. And that's not a good business model to stand on, but that's
the or they get passed off. Now they have. Now you go to a different team that handles, you know, troubleshooting or errors.
Wow.
And so, with us, we know your project inside and out. So even if you call us a year from later, we'll still be knowledgeable on your project.
What we're talking about, Gordon, is customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we're talking
about?
It's a
rare thing these days.
Yeah, I agree with you. I totally agree. I think if you're not available, you know, if a client calls, whether, you know, I'm a CPA as well, if they call and Gordon, you're a consultant, I mean, it's important to them.
Absolutely.
Now, we may try to prioritize it, but we shouldn't, because if they call, then they need something.
Yeah, right.
So you call them back. Maybe you could have a policy of, you know, four hours or one day.
Right, exactly.
But not probably
but
2 days.
But not a week or a month.
You know,
yeah.
And I find it very interesting. I happen to have a very successful client who tends to call me it whenever he's got something going through his mind. And a lot of times we're on the phone for like 2 minutes or a minute. And it's like... And it's so funny because the phone will ring. I might be watching TV, and I look down, and my wife will say, "Oh, that must be Gray," and that's the thing, right? But that's okay because it's all about, you know, he's an incredibly creative guy.
Right.
He has his own business. He's a sole practitioner, and it's whatever's going through his mind. He wants either bounce something off or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the real issue is, it's you need as business people, we need to be available for our clients.
Yes.
It doesn't mean you have to be available 24/7. I mean, the relationship, business relationship I have with Gray, that's completely, that's on another planet anyways. But from a standpoint of you need to be there, and I think what happens is exactly what these ladies said. People do this little slice.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea how to do anything else. So they do this little slice and they go away. Well, the reason they go away is you're going to want them to do that. And they don't know how to do that, so they don't want to tell you they don't know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my summation.
Right.
This is what I see, and it's like, oh, that's the reason you're not ready for training my phone call.
Right.
Because you know I'm going to ask you a question, you can't answer it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that's one reason. I think just lack of discipline and getting perception of busyness. But again, customer service is so critical.
Absolutely.
Especially if you want to be recommended.
And that's, we love being referred, and so we want to have a relationship with you. So we don't want to just, let's do your project and see you never again.
That makes sense. It reminds me years ago, a long time ago, as a CPA, I said to my clients, you could call me 24/7. Ever hear of that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
24, I mean 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And
that's really good.
That's adorable, right? I really like that. And they said, some of my clients said, why would I ever call you 3 in the morning? Now, I'm a former government tax auditor. I said, you're on vacation. Let's paint the picture. You go to Sedona, romantic weekend. You get home at Saturday at you know, it's actually Sunday morning, 12:01 a.m. Sunday morning. You go to your mailbox. Most people do that usually. And they see a letter from the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
I said, call me because I don't want you to not be able to sleep well until Monday where you think you could call me. Just call me then. In 25 years, only 3 people have taken me up on that. But I relieve their mind because I know every letter. Yep. I know exactly if this is a real problem or not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they appreciate that. And why people don't do that, I don't get.
Yeah.
I mean, why not be available? I'm not saying everyone should be 24/7.
No.
But here's a case where it might make sense.
Right. Absolutely. And also for us, we always ask our clients when we first meet with them too, and they sign off on a project with us, we say, how do you prefer to be communicated with? Who do you want us to reach out to if there's multiple?
Right.
Do you prefer email? Do you prefer text, phone? How do you prefer it? Because if I email you and you're more of a phone person, maybe that's not the best way for me to get a hold of you. And I need to know that in advance. And we let them know, like, we ask them what their availability is. Some of our clients, like 7 a.m., some of them are nights and weekends kind of people.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're flexible.
Okay.
So you guys work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot. 7 days a week, probably.
Yeah, and it's okay.
But we've worked so hard to get here, we don't even view it as...
It doesn't feel like work.
I enjoy the freedom.
Good comment.
Yeah, that was our whole goal, is the freedom of our own schedule, so...
Yeah, but good business model.
Yeah.
But the model is one thing. It's implementation because of your personalities, your character, and your desire and passion to be there to help others. It's about the clients, not about you.
We want them to succeed, so that makes
sense.
They succeed, we succeed.
I'm impressed with these two young ladies.
Well, I mean... I've been impressed with. And actually, I have to share this. Okay, I met them at a North Phoenix Chamber of Commerce mm-hmm. mix and mingle. That's how
That's
I
yep.
got to know these gals.
Yep.
See, North and Phoenix Chamber, get out there.
Together.
And it's like, you know, we've developed a business and relationship over the, and it's really actually been only a few months.
Yeah.
But it's really all about the fact that, and I mean, I've gotten to know them well. They, as I said, they do work for some of my clients. They're about to do work for more of my clients. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you this, and they'll tell you, but they'll be bragging. My clients are incredibly happy with the job that they
wow,
do for
nice.
Them.
Wow, nice. That's a good testimonial.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That, in fact, yeah. we have three clients here. Bring them in.
That'd be so surprising. I'd be like, okay.
And there's Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Who likes Johnny Depp? Anyone?
Yeah, sure. I would. He walked
oh.
through the door.
Oh, wow. Hey, you're married.
I'm married as an actor. Oh. As an actor.
Yeah, we got to get that squared yeah. up. Okay, so web design, SEO, how important?
Yes, so important.
Very important. Yeah.
You want Tell your us. Website to be seen. Yeah. So you can make the most beautiful website, but if people aren't finding yeah. it, then I would say it's as crucial as having a website. It's
yeah,
good SEO.
Absolutely.
And there's certain things that you will teach a client or you'll
Absolutely.
Do to put keywords
both,
in.
Both ways. We're as transparent as they want us to be. There's, like I said before, some of our clients don't even want to be bothered with the details of how it gets done or what keywords we're using or what we've done to the site to make it more visible. And that's okay because they have other things to have to worry about. And that's what we're hired for. But others want to know and get to learn it mm-hmm. and be a part of it. And that's great too. And we're willing to work with clients either way like that.
Very, very important. By the way, it just randomly popped in my mind that you both look like sisters.
Oh, yeah,
we get that,
that
one
that
too.
Probably at least once or twice a week.
Now, yeah. would it be twins or who would be the older sister?
You're the oldest sister. So, and I'm taller. Oh,
I'll be
so,
easy to point
sure.
that out. No, but we get asked that probably, honestly.
Yeah.
yeah. No,
twice
it,
a week.
Right?
Yeah.
We're thinking we should just say yes because when we say no, then
they
just kind of look at you.
Disappointed.
Yeah. We should just
well, why aren't you sisters?
Yeah. It's like, well.
Do your
yeah,
husbands get along with each other?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they get along. We're probably like closer and.
We don't really hang out as a four
as couples.
Couples.
Yeah. No? I spend so much time with her.
Right.
As it is. So, like, we do like social functions.
Yeah.
We still
definitely.
Hang out, but because we have a lot of girlfriends in common. But in general, we try to keep our personal like weekends
yeah.
a little bit different because right. we see each other 5 days, 6 days a week.
Yeah, my husband knows all about Holly though, and Ben,
yeah.
and vice versa. So.
Yeah.
And
wow.
our dogs,
and our dogs,
and
everything.
Yeah.
And we have film on this that we will now share.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Now we have about 5 minutes left, and so we talked about web design, a bit about mobile marketing, SEO. Content writing is interesting. You do that as well. Mm-hmm. Describe what that is for the listeners.
Well, it's pretty much, it goes hand in hand with SEO. So when we're writing content for clients, since we have such a marketing background in agencies, we write it in a way to where it's a snappier headline. Maybe a different tagline is something you're needing, or just catchier things on your website to stand out, to resonate with people with a call to action. Mm-hmm. So we think about what your messaging is, your demographic, your target market, and we build that into a way to kind of get people's attention a little bit more in the short amount of time that they're actually going to be spending on your website.
So when you worked at an agency, is this an advertising agency
yes.
you talked
yes.
about? So
yes.
you're really good with words.
Yes. yes, you have to be.
Call to action is very critical also with commercials on our radio show.
Mm-hmm.
And are there certain industries? Well, let me give you a quick example. As a former auditor, I only have one ad running on 1480 AM, and it opens up, do you owe money to the IRS?
Yeah.
Nice call
That's
to action.
Great, yeah,
it's
definitely.
Built in.
Yeah, direct.
It's built in.
Yeah.
You don't. From there on, it doesn't matter what
yeah,
you say.
Right, exactly.
But certain industries, how do you get a call to action like maybe a financial planner?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some are might be difficult, or do you make it humorous? I mean, is a call to action creating urgency, or is there some leadway where it can create, you know, some type of like, oh, that was clever or that
yeah,
was humorous?
It's both. It really depends on who your audience is. So if you're trying to target, if you're a financial planner, or financial advisor, and you want to tap into the millennials and the younger market coming out of college, you'd probably want to take more of a longer lasting, clever, witty approach to,
gotcha.
To stick with them because it's a really boring topic for a younger age to think about financial planning. You know you have to think about it. But something's got to be a little bit
It's a very
clever.
Good point, actually.
Yeah, so you got to think about who you're talking
like
to.
Like 70 and you go, whoops, I didn't really do much.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a built-in call to action,
that's
too.
That's different, like, yeah.
yeah.
Interesting.
Target audience is so always important.
That's always something we consider. It's like, who are you marketing to? Whether it's on your website or your blog, who are you marketing to?
Who and do you want your customers to be?
Yeah.
Wow. So humor is good.
Yes.
And what other things other than urgency?
Oh, I would say anything that's not a fear tactic. I would say something that's a little bit more long-lasting and resonating, makes you think.
And engaging, like,
Yeah. Something that... has your refrigerator, you know, gone out recently? Like, asking questions to them, whoever it may be, whoever you're talking to, is something that resonates a little bit longer.
That's really important, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to get together with some of our clients that they're trying to figure out a good call to action, because certain industries, it's just a little bit more challenging, I think.
Absolutely.
But the way you just described it made total sense to me. Well, man, this just went fast this hour. I can't believe it. Why don't we get some contact information out there? Yeah. How do they get in touch with you?
They can go to our website, and our phone numbers and email addresses are there. So if they want to reach Jessica or myself individually, or us as a company, they can find our email address on our website. The website's brightsidecs.com.
BrightsideCS.com.
And we're also on Facebook as well, our business page.
Yeah,
you can find us there.
Oh, that's good.
We get a little inside scoop on what we do day to day.
Oh, inside scoop. That would be a good segment.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe for the radio.
There you go.
Inside scoop. I love that.
No, it's incredible because it's interesting. They'll put a few sentences and get your attention to click more. I mean, I mean, as much as I know them, they hook me in every single time. I'm always I got to figure out what else is going on. I mean, now it's like you can't stop it just reading what's up on the page.
Yeah.
You got to hit more.
We'll
because
probably post this, right?
Yeah, we'll probably post this.
Picture.
That is really cool. And what, Gordon, how did the North Phoenix Chamber, how do they get in touch with the North Phoenix Chamber?
Well, that's pretty simple. The North Phoenix Chamber phone number, which I should have right here off the top of my head, since it's on my speed dial. I don't know it right now. I'll let you read it. Your eyes are better. You're better than mine without my glasses.
The phone number is 602-482-3344.
You could be a spokeswoman.
That was good. I like that.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was Holly Lane on the piano. All right. Well, Holly Lane and Jessica Coker, thank you so much. We hope, you know, definitely much success in your business. People need your type of business model, your customer service, someone they can rely on, especially, unfortunately, in this industry. It seems to be a little different than other industries on reliability. And we'd love to have you on again, and thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome,
fun.
Gordon Parkman. Always nice seeing you, Chairman of the Board.
It's always a pleasure. This is always an exciting opportunity.
Very fun, and we'll talk to everyone during the week. Signing up.